Welcome back to this podcast series entitled Lipids, Hyperlipidemia, and Atherosclerotic Cardiovascular Disease. In the last series, I discussed drug therapy for the management of hypercholesterolemia, particularly the use of statins and ezetimibe, and in our high-risk patients, the combination of the two as initial therapy for treating elevated LDL cholesterol. Today I'm going to talk more about the newer therapies, including pipeline molecules, for managing severely elevated LDL cholesterol levels. And I'm going to say something about the compliance of the various therapies. And then I'm going to discuss drug management of mixed hyperlipidemia and hypertriglyceridemia. So what about the newer therapies for managing an elevated LDL cholesterol levels? As mentioned, statins form the cornerstone of therapy, and that should always be our first-line therapy. But unfortunately, about 5 to 10% of patients have side effects or have perceived side effects from statins, particularly muscle aches and pains or myalgia. And occasionally, you can get elevation in liver enzymes. Now, it's interesting that although the reported prevalence of muscle side effects from statins is in the order of 5 to 10%, when you look at studies such as the SAMSON study, where the patients are their own control, so in the SAMSON study, patients were given 12 bottles of tablets. Four bottles were empty, four bottles had a statin in, and four had a placebo. So they would take one of the bottles monthly for a whole year, and every day had to record their symptoms. Now, the study was not interested in when the patients took nothing, the empty bottles, but wanted to compare the side effects during the use of placebo or statin therapy. And interestingly, there was no difference in the muscle side effects when patients were taking placebo or statins. So just the art of taking a tablet, a so-called nocebo effect, is probably responsible for many of the side effects perceived to be due to statins. They are remarkably safe drugs, much safer than aspirin, and they are definitely underutilized. But unfortunately, there is a small percentage of patients that cannot tolerate statins or refuse to take statins. And in that group of patients, we've got to consider maybe very low-dose statin, maybe weekly or twice a week, together with ezetimibe. And if that does not work, we've got to think about the use of the newer therapies. This is also important for patients that are at high or very high risk, who are on already on a combination of a high-intensity statin plus ezetimibe and are not achieving the recommended LDL targets, which, as I mentioned, in these very high-risk patients is 1.4 millimole per litre. If we are not achieving target, we need to think about the newer therapies that are now becoming available for treating severe hypercholesterolemia. And most importantly are the PCSK9-directed therapies. We currently have two monoclonal antibodies that are directed against PCSK9, drugs called alirocumab and everolimumab. These are monoclonal antibodies that are administered subcutaneously by injection every 2 weeks, so in other words, twice a month. And these therapies reduce LDL cholesterol by a further 60%. So very effective treatment for patients with markedly elevated LDL cholesterol levels. So particularly in patients with familial hypercholesterolemia, if we're not achieving goal with statin plus ezetimibe, we'd add a PCSK9 monoclonal antibody. The problem with these, with monoclonal antibodies, is they are expensive and they have to be stored in the fridge and I'd have to be administered once every 2 weeks. So very excitingly, there are new methods for reducing PCSK9 or therapies directed against PCSK9. Monoclonal antibodies work within the circulation by mopping up PCSK9, but a new therapy that's soon going to become available to us is a therapy which is called a small interfering RNA. It's a drug called inclisiran, which acts within the liver to prevent the production of PCSK9. So it's turning off the tap rather than mopping up the mess, as it were. We're stopping the production of LDL cholesterol within the liver. Now, importantly, unlike with monoclonal antibodies, this therapy is given much less frequently. Actually, it's only given once every 6 months. It has a much longer duration of action. It does not need to be stored in the fridge. And it's a very good therapy for very intermittent dosing. So with a 6 monthly dose of this therapy called inclisiran, we get an additional 50% reduction in LDL cholesterol. I think it's going to result in a paradigm shift in terms of the way we treat elevated LDL cholesterol, because it's guaranteed compliance. With just 2 injections per year, much like giving a vaccine for influenza, we guaranteed a 50% reduction in LDL cholesterol level. So I think that's going to change the way we manage the elevated LDL cholesterol levels in the future. So then what about the management of mixed hyperlipidemia and hypertriglyceridemia? As mentioned, this is often seen in patients with the metabolic syndrome and diabetes, with obesity. They tend to have elevated triglycerides and often a low HDL cholesterol. Now, the standard therapy for high triglycerides has been fibrates, because they're pretty good at reducing triglycerides, and in fact, in terms of raising HDL cholesterol. Unfortunately, the fibrates have all failed. This is including the latest fibrates, pemafibrate, as shown in the PROMINENT study, to reduce the risk of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. So in my opinion, there's very little role for fibrates in terms of reducing risk for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. We rather need to use the newer therapies in these patients with type 2 diabetes and the metabolic therapy and the metabolic syndrome that reduce LDL cholesterol further. So most important in our diabetic patients is to get LDL to target. So we should use statin, ezetimibe. If we're not at LDL target, we should consider the newer therapies, the PCSK9-directed therapies. The only exception is severe hypertriglyceridemia, when the triglyceride level is above 10 millimoles per liter, and that's because the risk of pancreatitis. In this case, diet is extremely important. A low saturated fat diet and fibrates are indicated. Very importantly, there's also no evidence that raising HDL cholesterol with medication will reduce the risk for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. Low HDL cholesterol is like very similar to glycated hemoglobin in the management of diabetes. It's probably more a marker of postprandial hypertriglyceridemia. And the best way to raise HDL cholesterol is not a drug. It is weight loss, exercise, and fortunately, alcohol in moderation also raises HDL cholesterol levels.
Thank you, Professor Rahl, for that succinct, high-level overview of some of the novel therapeutic agents now available to complement statin therapy in managing patients with hypercholesterolemia. The lipid-lowering therapy landscape is evolving at a rapid pace, as I'm sure you agree. In the penultimate episode of this webinar series, we will once again be joined by Professor Rahl as he discusses some unusual cases. Patients who are sometimes overlooked as they are not perceived to be at risk, but in whom management should be clinically optimized. Until then, take care and stay well.
We are Novartis, and we are reimagining medicine.